Where would you guys like to start?
We want you to show us all the good stuff here. Kate Stillman at Stillman Farm in Hardwick, which you say, Kate, is like a dead end.
We feel like a really wonderful dead end.
You're like a destination.
A destination.
Yeah, because people love to land.
Yeah, and you are right up against the Quabbin. Yeah, so absolutely. People are either coming here to go to the Stillman or to go to the Quabbin.
Absolutely.
You're right over the border from where?
Right over the border from where?
I love that where on its signs is like, somewhere worth visiting. And yeah. I'm like, did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. Let's make it more confusing. Where?
But somewhere.
Yeah, but we're in Hardwick. And Stillman grass-fed, pasture-raised meats and poultry, it says on your sweatshirt, to make it very easy for us to remember. But tell us about your business here.
So I actually did not grow up in Hardwick. I grew up in Lunenburg, but I am a multi-generational granddaughter, you know, of farmers, livestock farmers, produce farmers. And I landed in Hardwick 19 years ago and instantly fell in love with the community. This is kind of what we consider sort of the last real farm community in the state. I know we're a little biased. I got into the livestock business slowly and started just a mixture, some pigs, some sheep, actually no cows, and we started raising turkeys. And at the time, there just wasn't a lot of people raising meat. The logistics and the laws about how you could get into it, how you had to handle your animals, how you had to have them processed, it was all brand new. What I did have was a tremendous amount of experience as the daughter of a vegetable farmer, so I was good. I'd already been selling heirloom tomatoes and arugula and all of this stuff to Boston area customers for 20 plus years, you know, since I was couldn't even see over the edge of the table. So the meat just kind of naturally took off. It actually took off almost too fast. We instantly hit the infrastructure problem that, hey, we're raising all this great livestock. The demand is off the charts. And uh-oh, where are we going to get our stuff processed? I had a couple really challenging years right out of the gate. One of the facilities we used had a pretty catastrophic fire. I actually had animals up there, and that was my first round of meat that I was going to promise to customers. I was driving 4-5 hours round trip to Vermont to try to find federal processing that we could actually legally sell our product. It was tough. I attended every class, every seminar. I was reading every book, trying to climb over all those hurdles to figure out how are we going to legally sell our product to people. And it was actually after a couple of really tough Thanksgivings where one of our processors had challenges. And it became instantly clear to me that I could have a wonderful business, have great customers, and I could get sunk because of somebody else's business. And the message got delivered loud and clear at the Thanksgiving table. If you're going to be a single mom and you're going to take care of your employees and run a stable business, you got to build it on your own. So we started down that rabbit hole. And the first piece of that was I built our own butchery 12, 14 years ago. I knew nothing. I can only think back now to what I told the bank this first meeting. Go for it. Sure, I got this. And it took me a couple years to build this. And I think we probably made some genuine mistakes, but we got through it. We got this place launched. I got lucky with an incredible crew of people who knew more about the meat business than me. You know, the first batch of sausage we made over here, you know, to give you perspective, we probably make 300 to 400 pounds a week. The first week we opened this facility, we made 40 pounds. And we thought, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, we're really living the life. And I think we used a standard mix. And it was interesting to me because I'd never made sausage before. We knew we had a really great product in terms of the meat we were raising. And we wanted to give our customers absolutely the best product we possibly could. So here I am. I'm using a mix that we buy from a standard supplier. And it's got all this weird garbage in the mix. And I said to myself, this is really not why we did this. So it took us probably, you know, 6 months realistically to learn how to use our equipment, to learn what demand would be. And we started tweaking and experimenting. And 14 years later, I would say that that experience has what allowed the next phase of our expansion to happen. My goal has always been here at this farm not to raise more, but to make more and to do a better job with what we have here. I think that's really the most sustainable model and sort of what works better for my staff, the farm. And you know, when you get this whole animal back, there's a world of possibilities. You know, are you going to cut it all up into pork chops and pork tenderloin? Are you going to make some of it into bacon? So we have had 14 years to sort of perfect that. And that was what was the driving factor to push us for the next leg of our expansion.
We're with Kate Stillman at Stillman Farm in Hardwick with somebody who also knows a thing or two about raising meat, the new executive director of CESA, Jennifer Kaur, who I'm sure has a bunch of great questions about how the sausage gets made.
But like, I mean, you doing this has already reached like across the mountains, like Bav was talking about you.
Berkshire Agricultural Ventures saying the need for these USDA processing facilities.
We are standing here looking at your new facility, which looks really far along, frankly, much farther along than I was anticipating seeing.
Wait till I take you guys
inside.
Let's go. Yeah.
So we can head in.
So what will this be? When will it?
So this is a...
This is going to be a what we're calling a USDA smokehouse and value-added processing facility. And I think it's important to make that distinction because people, particularly farmers, hear USDA and they naturally go down the road and say, oh, this is about animal harvest and animal slaughter. And that's not what we're doing here. The state has done an incredibly good job. We're blessed here in Massachusetts. I know if you're a farmer who struggles with getting your livestock processed, you don't feel that way. But we actually do have some incredibly good processing facilities that serve producers in the state of Massachusetts. Where we fall down and where we're short is on having what we call value-added processing. So what this facility really is the next step for livestock farmers. We on purpose put up this building and designed the activity in this building sort of not to step on the toes of the existing processing infrastructure in the state. We're going to work in conjunction with a couple of the facilities that are around. And what's unique about our building is we're actually going to handle, we handle poultry and we handle red meat, which includes beef, pork, lamb. There really isn't.
I thought pork was the other white meat.
In the USDA world, it's the other red meat.
It had a moment, right?
Let's just not.
So we're really one of the only facilities. I don't want to say in the entire New England region, but it's really unique to have a facility that handles both those categories. And so we're going to be doing things here like making bacon. We will do some sausage making. We make pot pies, meatballs, some of the cool other value-added products that farmers can't get to make right now.
We have been running a meat CSA for a long time, and I think meat...
You and your own farm.
Yeah. Me and my husband and our own farm. That's a key part of it. but I think it's important for folks to know that the local meat movement has been largely dependent on sort of folks that are comfortable eating cuts of meat. So having the knowledge and the time to transform cuts into meals. We are all sort of subject to wanting a little more convenience. And I think one of the things that is a limiting factor to that is that we cannot transform product easy enough into meals, prepared meals, or stocks, or some of those value-add products. So this is changing the game in our area, for sure, to have access to this capacity.
I didn't just come up with this idea on my own. It's been actually, it precipitated out of a lot of things sort of exploding all at once. But you guys mentioned BAV, CESA. You know, for almost 3 years going back, I've been involved in conversations with different people from those organizations. And really, when you start talking about value-add, that's where the greatest profit margins are for farmers. So one of the products that's known is jerky. So many farmers would love to be able to sell it. I think if you go and look inside USDA stats, that's considered the highest, you know, margin item for farms, or highest return on investment. So that can happen here. The other thing that's unique about this facility is we can produce ready-to-eat products. So there's a category within the value add that's called ready-to-eat, which means you can open up that package and just pull it out and eat it. Jerky is a good example. Deli meats are one of those. But we designed this facility to have that ability, but we were able to design this facility from the ground up so that we can do all of that.
We're with Kate Stillman at this what will be USDA approved facility at Stillman Meats here in Hardwick, and with Jennifer Kaur from CESA, the local hero folks, who along with folks like Bav have been instrumental in bringing this close to online.
Can we ask a couple questions about how you're funding this space?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's a really good question.
Did you go to the bank again and say, like, I got another crazy idea for you?
I think the bank knows to screen my calls. No, I mean, there's so many complicated steps to putting up one of these facilities. I got a lot of loans. You know, the banks are sort of my best friends. My kids always say to me, do we own the house? I said, no, the bank owns everything. Yeah. We have worked here for 3 years to sort of solve that financing. It's been complicated. There are a series of big bank loans that we've gone after. There have been some great grant opportunities, both through the state, the food insecurity grant.
Security infrastructure grant.
The state has been wonderful. And there's been some federal money. And I'll be honest, the federal stuff has been complicated and tough. I mean, everybody knows that, what's going on. We're fortunate that none of our funding was cut. What I would say is that rules were changed, timing was changed, that created additional burdens and hardships on us. And I feel like at any given day, the federal matrix can change on us. But it is a good question, because I think we're probably at the 90% mark. And that's something that we're going to be starting this week, is we're going to do a crowdfunding campaign, which we hope to gain that last 10%. I'll be honest, tariffs were a huge issue. We have been fortunate that quite a few pieces of the equipment are coming from fairly local, but everybody is sending a little notice. Oops, where, you know, this is sourced from here. There's going to be a tariff increase with all of the materials. And then I think the third part has been the huge customization to all of the equipment. So this building, everything down to the panels on the walls, the floor drains, has all been customized. You're looking at our soon-to-be smoker there. It all was a custom fabrication, including what direction the door swung out. Was it going to hit the wall, the height of the ceiling?
Results is happening.
All of it. This is USDA. This is an estate facility. It's very serious. It's the highest standards and levels of processing. You were hoping to raise about $100,000 to $200,000 more to sort of kind of get this project over the finish line. This will double, maybe triple my personal debt load, which is a lot, you know, and I have put a smile on my face, rolled up my sleeves, and navigated through. One of the things to think about with this facility is, yes, this will upscale my processing capacity, but we built this with the idea to take on processing for up to 300 small livestock farmers.
300?
That's a lot. It's a lot.
So this is a regional food infrastructure investment. It's important that we all kind of understand the impact that that has across the entire region, not just locally, but neighboring states.
And are you already talking with some of these 300-plus farmers? Like, are they already excited to work with you?
Yes. And that's really the next – I'll be honest, we've been in construction mode here for so long, and I'm about to crash into Thanksgiving and the holiday season.
Aren't we all?
Turkeys right outside the door.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a lot to sort of navigate all of a sudden right at once. But yes, we are starting conversations and starting to get this out. I'm already having conversations with farms. A good example, I talked to a farm locally in two towns over the other night. On a whim, somebody said, call Stillman's, go talk to Kate. And we got chatting about bacon. And she said to me after the end of the conversation, oh my God. She said, I had no idea this was going on at your place. She said, for 18, 20 years, we've had a bacon problem. They want their bacon cured in a certain way with certain ingredients, and they can't get it done. And it's been a huge source of disappointment, frustration, a little bit of anger for them, feeling like, hey, we raised these animals. We can't get the final product we want. And she said, wow. She goes, there's hope. I'm unique. I employ mostly women, a lot of moms. In fact, two of them said to me, don't kill us, but our daughters have dance and we're going to need to leave early on Wednesday and Thursday nights. And I said, that's okay. We got this. So I think that's unique. Most people are surprised when they walk into a processing floor and I've got all these women rocking it.
This place looks real close to done.
It's very close.
How long has it been under construction? When did you break ground?
I would say we broke ground over 2 years ago. Planning wise, it's been in the works for about 3 years. I've had a tremendous food project manager, food safety manager, who designed this building with me from the ground up. She and I talk daily. We talked this morning at like 5 o'clock.
That's
too early to make important decisions.
But that tells you kind of the seriousness, right? Like that's going on behind the scenes. I remind everybody, this is going to be a little rough out of the gate. When I first opened up our original butchery, We were processing one night for Thanksgiving. I think around, it must have been 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. It was Monday night, the Patriots were playing, and my crew couldn't get service inside. So everybody was outside trying, and it was one of when the, back in the days when the Patriots were like killing.
They are killing again, by the way.
Killing again, right?
Number one in the NFL tied.
That's right. So everybody was out taking a Patriots Monday night break, and we went to go back in the building and the doors were locked. It was one of those, well, who has the key? I don't know. So I don't think we're going to be making those kind of mistakes over here. That being said, this current smoker has a capacity of 500 or 600 pounds on one production run. My current smokers have a capacity of 40 pounds. Uh-huh. So you can see the level that we're going to be scaling here.
Barbecue. This is my spirit. I swear it never fails. And the sauce mama makes just this in forever.
What's your best guess as to when this place might be open if things are on the same course that they're on right now?
So I'm going to shock everybody. We're putting January on the calendar. Big construction projects run over schedule. I think we're only outside of our original schedule by maybe 2 months, which isn't horrific. We do a huge Thanksgiving business. We raise about 1,000 turkeys for the holidays. And I had said to everybody, please, please, please do not let this crash right into Thanksgiving. I said, you're going to give your turkey farmer an absolute heart attack. And that was the only stipulation. And of course, that is the only stipulation that is not going to be supplied. We are having equipment demos scheduled here next week. Big pieces of equipment are getting delivered.
Taking time out of your schedule in November to talk to some dumb radio host and CISO. We're with Kate Stillman at Stillman Farm in Hardwick with the new executive director of CISA, Jennifer Kaur.
Will you keep the other side of the road open with the bat butchery?
Yes.
Okay. And then we ask, why did the chicken cross it? Oh, now we know.
Running
to come
away.
Get processed on
USDA
this.
USDA inspected.
Come get USDA inspected. In a nutshell, we're building a whole new business here. One of the problems, and it's not a problem, it's served me well, is we're only a retail business right now. So all of the product that we produce goes direct to my customers via my hands. This will change all of that because we have the USDA over us. We can wholesale and do all this custom processing. So this building over here and this processing space really will remain for all of that. There are so many regulations about producing meat and any product with meat in it. Even something like a croissant or a piece of pizza that has sausage or some ham in it. Believe it or not, I mean, the USDA watches that. You know, we're not going to be making croissants in here, but it's that same kind of thinking. And that's what will change everything, too. These farms that might have me make their pot pies, not only will they now have pot pies to sell to their customers, they can wholesale them to anybody else they work with. As somebody who drives 80 miles a day, twice a day, every single day since I had a license, the idea that I might not have to drive all over the state, and again, not disparaging farmers markets, they have served us incredibly well. But it is exciting that I could take a box of our pot pies and send them to a storefront.
One of the pinch points in processing is sort of that seasonality. In New England, lots of people have animals ready for processing at exactly this time of year and not so much in other times of the year. So will this facility then allow people to keep portions of carcasses frozen and then do some of that value-add processing off-season here to keep you busy throughout those 12 months?
Absolutely. We have tremendous freezer and refrigeration capacity in this building. And we can walk in and look at the space. I mean, the space is huge. We built with a tremendous amount of capacity to expand. Give you a good example. We're putting in one oven. We're putting in a hood that's double the size so that we can add a second oven.
Good thinking.
What are some of the differences between the facility you have across the way and this one that is under USDA regulation?
So that is a really good question. Honest to God, a lot of it is what we're standing on. The plumbing system that is underneath this floor is amazing. I've had some of the plumbing crew come through and tell me it's the most complicated plumbing system they've ever installed. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but there's all kinds of other small things, bathroom space, ceiling height, the light in different rooms, how much light you have, a hose arrangement. I mean, there are USDA processing is very precise in terms of how much moisture can be in your processing space, how that moisture is moved through your processing space. I view it as sort of a formula. You know, if you want to open up a USDA, you've got to have this checklist of, you know, whether it's 40 or 50 items. There are just so many of those considerations that we didn't have to include in our building across the street. That being said, would that pass for USDA? Maybe. It is a safe processing facility. We do receive regular inspections by the state and by the USDA. What that facility probably would struggle with is that extra ready-to-eat processing, which there are different things we have to do inside this building for pathogen control. It's huge. You know, this project is a multi-million-dollar facility. When we started, that number probably would have scared me to death. I'm glad I didn't have the full number when we started, or this probably wouldn't have happened. I hear a lot of customers who say, oh, USDA facility, this is great, but they can't visualize this space. And so many of my neighbors drive by, they see this big red barn, the jokes are funny. I mean, we have a sort of a local gambling pool going of what's going in the building. Some of my son's friends have said swimming pool.
Pickleball court.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think alien spacecraft is in here.
I know if you ask my son, he had dreams of an indoor basketball court. I also think we're in I'm biased. I think we're in a really unique part of the state. There is so much agriculture thriving in Hardwick. We've started something called the Hardwick Farmers Guild, and it consists of 18 working farms here in Hardwick, and we all collaborate. You know, if I have a tractor break or I have an animal that's sick, I don't have to go to a store. I don't have to wait for somebody to show up. We go down the street. Neighbors are all farming in this community. That's rare. It's a piece of, you know, what makes this facility special and having it situated. But we are looking for ways, you know, that was always the end goal. Let's build it and then let's see if we can get the community involved to really support this. Getting local meat on the plate is so much harder than getting other meat. A lot of these animals, for instance, cows are 3+ years old. Pigs are 1 year old. And you think about this, farms are booking appointments to have their animals handled and harvested and processed 3-4 years out. There are just so many challenging logistics to getting local meat. Just putting it at a farmer's market or just seeing it at the store and comparing, you know, the cost and the price doesn't remotely come close to the whole story. I think one of the other little hidden gems of this project is we're talking about investing in rural communities here. Hardwick is an incredibly rural community. And we're offering about high-skilled, high-paying, year-round jobs. That used to never exist in farming, right? When I grew up, none of those words would have been combined together in a sentence. So all of a sudden, we have that here. And I think about building Hardwick as a farm community and keeping it as a farm community, that's one of the ways we're going to do that. But the farm crew was excited. They were like, ooh, we get a bathroom and a shower too.
The care that you build your space for your crew is such a reflection of the care that you have for your
crew. We wanted everybody to be included and feel like they were getting something with this building. This probably will make you guys laugh. This is the freezer. I have no idea how to open the door. So there's our first challenge.
It's a learning curve.
So this will be our main processing room. Ovens are going in here. There'll be production tables here. These are these cool floor drains that were custom designed for us. And the idea is so they can be easily washed and cleaned, which is so exciting. This is our walk-in cooler.
And this is a very big space.
This is a big space.
You know what it is off the top of your head?
I don't know, but I think you'll be amazed if you come back in a year how full this will be.
20 by 30 or something like that.
Probably.
That's about it.
Our smoker is going to go right here. And this is an important room. This is our ready-to-eat processing room, so no raw product will ever come in here. And that's part of the pathogen and the food safety control that we have built into this. We package, and this is the cool part. We have a packaging machine that's the entire wall. And the idea was to offer farms the same quality of packaging. So if you go to the grocery stores and you see the beautiful packaged bacon and all of that, we're going to be able to give that to farms. I probably have to sell a couple children to afford it, which is why we're doing the crowdfunding campaign.
So if you don't support the crowdfunding campaign, these children are going to get sold.
This is our walk-in freezer, which is really probably the highlight of this building. Most facilities have freezers outside the building. So much of the amazingness of this freezer is about what you can't see. This was all custom designed and custom engineered with our subs. I mean, we're all kind of in awe of this particular room here. And I'll give you guys a quick peek upstairs because that space is pretty cool too.
So then what do you do on the second floor, like office space?
This will be all offices and, you know, important production. So we've got laundry facilities. So this is a ton of space.
This is a meeting room / conference room. We can do classes. We can host people up here. If the USDA needs to talk with my staff, everybody can come in here. A break room. People can eat lunch.
The USDA gets their own office. That's one of the requirements is they have to have their own space.
Whoa, fancy.
Yeah. Well, so that, like, when they're coming and evaluating and looking at your facility, they don't necessarily have to do it in front of the staff, which can be disconcerting.
I bet.
So this will be spices and ingredient storage, which is really part of the sort of the wholesomeness of this facility, is we got to make sure we're handling those inputs correctly.
This is a serious room that gets locked. This is chemicals.
Ah.
So, you know, we got to track all of that. So this is the room I'm most excited about. I get an office.
Yay! You get an office? This is a big office.
It's a great office.
With a nice view of your farm across the street.
I get a great office. I get a view. And I get a bathroom.
When my project manager started showing me designs of the upstairs and how she was going to arrange stuff, she said to me, so this is your office. And I'm reading the fine print. And I'm like, bathroom? There's hookups here if we want to put in like a small kitchenette. And she goes, so do you have any comments? And I said to her, is this like, tell me your life's going to suck without telling me your life is going to suck? And I said, isn't this overkill for an office? And she said, no. She said, there will probably be nights that you are sleeping here as an owner because these facilities are serious. Yeah. You know, paperwork has to get completed and done. And that goes back to, this is why you don't just build it, because you have to have people here who sort of can step up to the plate and are willing to assume all this responsibility. Mm. We're going to handle a lot of food out of this building, very seriously. So I got a bathroom, maybe a bedroom out of the deal.
But at least a futon.
Get a Murphy bed.
I have to say, the only reason I was really willing to do this project and to go at the scale that we've gone here is because of working with CISA and BAV. You guys were great. They opened up doors and put the correct people in that were willing to hold my hand. I built our current butchery on my own with no assistance. This time has been the exact opposite, and I'm grateful. It's probably the reason I still am sleeping at night, and that I will consider ever sleeping again. But it's the hell of a luxurious office.
Dripping off the beat, kinda. Dripping off the meat grinder. Heat niner, pimping, stripping, soft, sweet minor.